Have you ever learned about something, whether that be a feature, a tool, or a product, and at the moment thought to yourself, darn it, that's awesome. I wish I had taken the time to figure that out sooner. Or I wish I had discovered that sooner. It would have made life so much easier. Today is one of those episodes for me. We're continuing our topic from last week on how to best utilize, organize, and manage Fourscore, a digital sheet music app where you can create set lists, annotate directly on and rearrange pages in PDF files, and more. If you missed last week's episode, you might want to start there as we covered some basics, such as how to get files into Fourscore, best practices for managing the file data, and so forth. Part 2's continuation today highlights features I wish I had taken the time to learn about sooner. It's so easy to get a new tool or product and feel like you don't have 30 minutes to give to reading or watching tutorials. But time has taught me that 30 minutes can save us so much time and headaches, and those, darn it, I wish I had known that sooner moments. Now, I confess that some of the features that I'm going to talk about today, I discovered while researching and writing these two podcast episodes, so I am guilty as charged. I want better for you, though. Oh, I guess I, the confessee here, should introduce myself. I'm Amy Chaplin, and you're listening to episode 98 of the Piano Pantry podcast. I can't believe we're rolling into the end of 2 full years of this podcast. It has been a joy serving you this way over the past 100 episodes. If you're new around here, you can ignore me for just the next few seconds. But if you've been around for a bit, I need to talk to you directly. I have 3 requests for my listeners. First, as we round the corner to number 100, I would love to hear from you. Is there anything in particular you would like to hear more of from me in the future? The sky's the limit. I can't make any promises, but I would love to hear what has been resonating with you the most here on the podcast and supports you as a teacher and business owner. Would you consider taking a few minutes to share with me? Visit pianopantry.com/survey or go to the show notes for the link. My second request, for those who haven't already, is to take a moment to rate and review the podcast. If you're not sure how to do so, I have a few screenshots for you that you can find at pianopantry.com/podcast. And my third request for those who have been around here a bit is to consider supporting the free content that I'm producing by partnering with me over on Patreon. For just $4 a month, you can be a silent cheerleader, or for $7, you can get a few personal bonuses from me. This podcast is a solo production that takes at least 4 hours every week to brainstorm, write, edit, record, create show notes for, and share. If I'm being realistic, it's more often like 6 hours. I want to give a shout out to Lori Bender, a teacher from Illinois and a good friend who is one of my Patreon partners. You can join in like Lori by visiting patreon.com/pianopantry, or again, get the link in the show notes. Do you love to read like I do? Every year, around the end of December or the beginning of January, I look back at the books I've read over the past 12 months and think through what I might like to put on the list for the next 12. Over the years, I've found I enjoy keeping track, including who recommended them to me, and I even jot down a rating on a 5-point scale. As I've continued intentionally making time for reading for pleasure, it has been really fulfilling to look back at my reading history for the year. It's particularly eye-opening to see the balance in genres, reading for pleasure or information, and so forth. The ratings also help me see what authors I want to read more of in the future. As you're building your own reading list for the upcoming year, if you're looking for recommendations on books on piano teaching, you might want to check out my list of favorites. If you're a new teacher especially, there are so many books out there. I hope my recommendations will help guide you to the best of the best books to get your hands on right away. Visit pianopantry.com/favorites or get the link in the show notes. There are several features I'm excited to share with you today. Now, I'm not trying to be exhaustive in this list, but I just want to make sure you know about features that made my life easier once I learned how to use them more fully. First up is how to wake up both the metadata bar, basically your song information toolbar controls that are at the top, and the annotation bar. It's two different movements. If you just simply tap once in the middle of the screen, it will wake up the toolbar controls at the top where you have the song information. But if you press and hold for a second rather than tap, you'll bring up the annotation bar. This can be done with one finger or with your Apple Pencil, but there's a setting that controls whether this can be done with either a finger or the pencil, or just your finger, which I'm going to circle back to here in a second. Before that, if you're going to use the Apple Pencil, you'll need to go into the settings and look through all the different options for how it behaves. A big one for me was this. If you're using the Apple Pencil and you need to activate the annotation bar to annotate something on the page, you need to decide two things. First of all, if you want to activate the annotation bar with either your finger or the Apple Pencil, and second, if you allow a touch of the Apple Pencil to launch the annotation bar, if you want it to automatically enter annotation mode. If you toggle this setting on, what's going to happen is it's going to make a marking on the page with whatever the last annotation you used as soon as you tap the screen with your pencil. Now, I find this setting very annoying. I can't tell you how often I have added a random sharp in the middle of a page or placed a tiny red dot where it shouldn't be because of the setting. To turn the setting off under the Apple Pencil settings, what you're going to do is toggle off the one that says automatically enter annotation mode. Toggling this off means you can enter annotation mode by pressing and holding with either your finger or the pencil, and it won't automatically start drawing on the page. It will just put it into annotation mode, and then from there you can choose which item or like what tool you want, a highlighter or a pen or a sharp, like accidentals or anything like that. Okay, next up, let's talk about the seek bar. If the current score has more than one page, the seek bar is the dotted line slider that's along the bottom of the screen in the middle where you can preview and jump to other pages in the PDF. I wanted to point this out because if you have a bunch of copyright text at the bottom of your score, sometimes it makes it hard to even see that this feature is there. In order to wake up the seek bar, you do the same movement that you did when you're waking up the metadata toolbar at the top of the page. You just tap once in the middle of the page and it will both wake up the metadata toolbar and the seek bar at the bottom. Then, if you press and hold your finger on one of the slider dots at the bottom of the page, you can preview any of the pages in the PDF. Just press and then slide your fingers back and forth on each dot to preview each page, and then release your finger to go to whatever page you need. The next feature I want to bring to your attention is the metadata area for each piece, also labeled as a lowercase I button or as properties. This area holds the song information and is one portion we discussed a lot in last week's episode. There's so much to know, we're talking about a few more things today. If there is a check mark in the box next to one of the areas of song information, like next to the composer or the song title or the key or the tag or the label or anything like that, that is the information that will be edited once you close the panel. So if there's a check mark there and you type something in, it's going to edit that information. If it's unchecked or empty, no changes will be made. Again, if there's a check mark, the file's existing metadata for that line item will be replaced with whatever you previously entered. So if you type something new into there and put a check mark next to it, then it's going to edit whatever was there previously. Remember though, again, as I shared with you last week, you don't have to actually rely on remembering what labels or tags or composer names or information you have in each bank. Your organized pre-saved information for all of these areas is viewable by touching the circle that's clear to the right that has three little lines inside of it. If you tap on that, what it's going to do is going to show you what you've already created. So you don't end up having, for example, a tag that's labeled major with an uppercase M or one with a major that's with a lowercase M, because case matters and it would actually create two different tags if the uppercase or lowercase are different. So it has to be written out the exact same way, which is why using the saved organization feature is important rather than just typing it in manually every time. While we're talking about metadata properties, it's also helpful to know that you can edit the metadata of more than one score at a time. You have to enter edit mode first and then select which scores you want to edit. The metadata properties panel will open up. From there, you can edit whatever property you like for all of those scores simultaneously. Please be careful when doing this, though. Be sure you understand how the properties work if you're editing multiple scores at once. Again, whatever you type in there won't add to what you already have, it will replace it. Similarly, you can simultaneously add multiple scores to one set list by entering edit mode. So you enter edit mode, you select whatever scores you want to add, and then you add them to the same set list all at one time. The next item I want to tell you about is something that makes me smile and roll my eyes, because I went through a brief period of time years ago when I was about to go crazy trying to figure out this next item. And it has to do with when you're in annotation mode and the annotation toolbar is awake and on the page. It defaults to the top of the page, and it was covering up areas of my PDF that I wanted to write on and make marks on. I didn't realize that you could slide the toolbar up and down the page out of your way by pressing and holding on the three gray lines on either side of the toolbar. Thanks to Facebook groups, I was able to ask someone for help, and they saved me a lot of annoyance and heartache. Now that I know, it seems like it should be intuitive, but I think the fact that the metadata toolbar at the top isn't movable threw me off, because I just assumed that the annotation bar was also locked in place. There are so many things I want to tell you guys about, but as I said at the beginning, the intention today wasn't to be exhaustive. So I'm going to briefly mention a few more things, and then you just need to go and spend time playing around with Foursquare. Next up, you can duplicate and rearrange pages within a PDF. If you click on what looks like a suitcase button in the top right-hand corner, and then select rearrange, you can actually duplicate pages inside of the PDF and then move them around, which I find super useful for things like repeats or DSL codas and so forth. Now, there's also a button feature right next to the rearrange feature that will help you. Like, you could put a button on the page, and then when you tap it, you can tell it to go to a certain part of the score. But oftentimes, I prefer to just simply duplicate pages so that I'm not like having to touch buttons on the page. And that way I'm always just moving my foot forward in Foursquare instead of trying to go back and forth with my Bluetooth foot pedal. Lastly, you can merge two PDF files by going into edit mode. Again, this edit mode is the same place that we were talking about earlier when you're editing the metadata information for multiple scores. So click on edit, and this is like under the all scores area. Click on edit. Select whichever scores you want to merge, and then instead of clicking edit to edit their metadata information, you just click on the word merge. Another feature in this edit mode is that you can actually clone or duplicate a score. If you click on edit and then just select the score you want to duplicate, you just click on duplicate at the top. Now, if you select more than one score, you'll see the merge feature, but if you only select one score, you'll see the clone option at the top. All right, that is it. I'm cutting myself off. Like I said, just spend some time playing around. If you have time, sit down with your iPad and the Foursquare app and listen to this episode again and play around and learn some of these features directly. Taking the extra time to learn something will save you so much time in the long run, you won't regret it. let me encourage you as we sign off today that once you get the app up and running and organized how you like it, you can't just let it go in autopilot forever. We have to be intentional about managing and upkeeping the app in a consistent manner, such as always going in to make sure you edit the metadata information of a piece when importing it, and not letting the title just do something random and default. Then, once or twice a year, sit down and clean things up. Delete your old scores, add in song information that you didn't take the time to do when importing it, remove set lists that you no longer need, and so forth. I hope you enjoy utilizing this wonderful tool and have discovered some new settings over these past couple of episodes that will help you use it more fully. Before you go, I have a little tip for you. If you heard about a product or resource from someone who is an online content creator, go the extra step and try and purchase from any affiliate link that they share. It's an easy way to support your creators without costing you any extra. Little things like that can really help make a difference for those in content creation world. As you roll into the final weeks of the year, I'm sending warm wishes your way and hope you experience the joy of the season in many ways. Until next week, it's episode number 99.